Happy Earth Day. It's Earth Day. I don't know whether to feel good or feel bad. But I think I'm about to feel bad. We're going to talk about
And then you introduce me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way. Let me rephrase. I think I'm going to be happy.
Thank you.
Pastor Chuck Fulmer is here. Pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Regular guest here on our Bible study program. I'm really stuck on the horns of a dilemma. On one horn is the biblical imperative, which I will summarize thusly, maybe poorly, but I'll let Pastor Spomer clean up the mess. And that is that God has given us the good gift of his creation and that we are stewards of it and we ought to take care of it. It ought to be on our hearts and minds that air and land and food and water are important. They're good gifts of God, and we ought to do our stewardship in such a way as to protect that. That's one side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum is Mother Gaia, looking upon the earth, not so much as a created thing, not so much as a gift from God, but as a goddess in itself, from whom or from which our being flows. And I don't want to get too far out on the fringe of either side of the spectrum. There are those who say, because God has given us the gift of the earth, that we shouldn't cut down trees. We shouldn't, use lumber for our homes and things like that. God has given us the gift of oil, but everybody knows that cars are bad, and pretty soon I just get confused. So I'm not quite sure what to do with Earth Day. Pastor Spomer, can you help me out a little bit here?
I think we need to celebrate Earth Day. Let's go out and rip the buds off of all the trees and throw them up and have a big celebration and like they rain down upon us.
Your sarcasm precedes you.
Yes, unfortunately.
Did you know today's Earth Day?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw that on the calendar. Tangentially. I care only in so far as that, as you mentioned, our stewardship, as God's as those whom God has given dominion over the earth, touches the concerns of Earth Day. Earth Day used to be not quite so bad a thing. People were just reminded that the earth
is... Earth Day is a bad thing?
It has become one of those things which kind of unfortunately has a life of its own, like you said, with Gaia as the goddess Earth. It's not that there is a goddess of Earth, but that Earth itself, as you pointed out, is a goddess or a living thing. And Earth is our mother, and you see bumper stickers all over the place that says, honor your mother, and it's got a picture of the Earth. Well, the Earth is not my mother. I have a mother in two senses. Number one, there was the woman who bore me into this world, one of the saints of God, and she is my mother. And the other is the church, which is my mother, has borne me into the family of God through the gifts that God has given to that church, baptism, and his word, and has kept me and nurtured me through that word and through the Holy Supper of our Lord, again, possessions and gifts which God has given to that church in order to dispense within the church his care and his nurture. So, God has begotten me again to a living hope through his word in Jesus Christ, and he has used the agency of the church to do that, the church which is his bride. So the church is my mother in that sense, my spiritual mother.
What do you say to the person who says, I'm not exactly sure who Gaia is, but I do believe that we get our being and we get our life from the earth. And I think your perspective of mother is weirder than mine.
Right? Okay. Well, that may be true, but this is the way that Christians look at it, and we do not get our life from the earth. Actually, we get more of our life from the sun than we do from the earth. Without the sun, the earth is just a cold ball.
Well, I like that. Father, Son, and Mother Earth. You're heading in my direction here.
Okay. If that's the way you care to look at it, that's fine. But all of these things have a temporary life. They are not eternal. Whereas the Father who created us is eternal, and the bride that he creates for himself, his church, is immortal. It will not die, but it will live with him forever. And the other things will not. They'll pass into out of existence.
Here's what I'm hearing you say, because you got to understand that I pretty much hear what I want. I'm hearing you put distance between yourself and Earth Day. I don't hear you embracing Earth Day. And I just don't think that's very politically correct of you, Pastor. I think that's actually kind of rebellious and not being a team player here. So.
There are people who would say it's not even very religious of me. It's not very Christian of me
exactly.
to put distance
well,
between
I could
myself
go,
and
I
Earth
could go
Day.
There. Yeah.
You could. Although I do believe that if you're going to talk about what's Christian, you need to talk about, first of all, what's scriptural. And what God gives us in the commission that he gives to human beings at the beginning as he creates the world is to replenish the earth and subdue it. We bring it under the control of man because nature needs that. Nature in itself needs to be brought under man's control. That's the purpose for which God created man in the world. Now, admittedly, we have, in many cases, misused that ability to control. We have used it selfishly rather than using it as stewards. But a steward may use the resources of his master also for his own welfare. He just may not use them against the wishes of his master. So we have that commission that God gives us by which then we take the resources of the earth and we use them for the benefit of human life. Because after all, and you will find people who will object to this also, after all, the human race is the top and crown of God's creation. That's the top of God's created order. We are not simply one of the many thousands of animals that God created, and our life is worth vastly more than any animal's life, even though that certainly nowadays is questioned.
That's not politically correct, Pastor.
Well, I know.
You got to love the bunnies. You have to love the animals.
For you, you've been watching VeggieTales again? Love the bunny. The bunny.
Well, see, since you've taken a position on Earth Day, which is distinctly religious, which is looked at through the Christian lens, even of the scriptures, I think is what you said,
mm-hmm.
then I present to you this article that is in the USA Today. It's written by Oliver Thomas, otherwise known as Buzz. So apparently there are at least two Buzzes in the world, ours and USA Today's. And the headline is, Might Our Religion Be Killing Us? Is what we preach and ultimately what we believe hastening the destruction of our planet? The answer appears to be a resounding yes. So then what? That's the headline.
That's the assertion, right?
That's the assertion.
Okay.
Here's what Thomas says. Be fruitful and multiply, says the book of Genesis, and Lord knows we have, to the tune of more than 300 million at home and more than 6 billion abroad. But as we go about the heavenly task of multiplying, a poignant question arises, might our religion be killing us? We all remember the Aztecs. Some say their religion, with its penchant for violence and human sacrifice, played a critical role in the destruction of their civilization. We moderns are far more sophisticated, of course, but if we persist with some of our religious practices, we could be heading down the same disastrous dog trot, sort of a reverse Noah story. Noah is credited with saving humanity during the big flood. We could be the ones who get blamed for destroying it. Here's why. The hundreds of scientists who make up the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warned recently that the environmental crisis is more dire than originally believed. We might have reached a tipping point. Even if we stop producing harmful greenhouse gases immediately, temperatures could continue to rise and ocean levels along with them for the next 1,000 years. How much? The IPCC says by as much as 11 degrees this century, with a corresponding rise in ocean levels of nearly 2 feet. Other scientists, such as Britain's James Lovelock, who is credited with discovering that chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, we're polluting the atmosphere, say it will be far worse and happen sooner. Both predictions portend drought, starvation, and species extinction. Hopefully not ours. Of course, much of our environmental problem is due to overpopulation. There are simply too many people for the planet to sustain, at least the way we expect to be sustained. Each new person requires more food, water, and oxygen. At the same time, each is producing more carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, and methane, the big culprits of global warming. For each additional human, planet Earth and the rest of us pays a price. The world knows where this is all headed. In fact, we even devote an entire day, Earth Day, to promote awareness. Now, consider the Roman Catholic Church's continued opposition to modern birth control, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints encouraging large families. This might not alarm you, unless you realize that nearly one in every five humans on the planet is Roman Catholic, and that the Latter-day Saints belong to one of the fastest-growing religions in the Western Hemisphere. Many Orthodox Jews and some Muslims also eschew birth control. In the interest of preserving our planet and species, shouldn't religious organizations be encouraging smaller families? Do our spiritual leaders need additional divine revelation to realize that our current doctrines, which threaten to take the entire world down with us, have become ethically and theologically questionable? What's your response?
Which part of that would you like a response to?
This question. In the interest of preserving our planet and our species, shouldn't religious organizations be encouraging smaller families?
No.
In the face of... In the face of all that argument, in the face of all that contention, in the face of all that evidence, you say no?
Where are the facts? What he cites are simply suppositions. There's no fact that he cites anywhere in that, including a consortium of scientists who realize that there are just as many scientists who believe that the global warming thing may, first of all, not exactly be happening. You know, that the average temperature on the surface of the Earth, the average temperature is not going up in 10 years. And that...
So you challenge the science?
I challenge not only the science, I challenge the premise. And the premise is that human beings are the cause of global warming. And we know that's simply not the case.
We know that?
Yeah. What's the source of most of...
Do you know that Al Gore won a Nobel Prize?
Yeah, I know that. It did not elevate the Nobel Prize Committee
here,
in
Pastor.
My estimation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, his science is questionable. You know, it's always questionable. And you know that the courts in Britain have said that you can only show that Inconvenient Truth movie to school children with a caveat that the science that is there has not been proven to be true. You have to say that.
Those Britons have a mind of their own. You know,
yeah, sometimes they're right. You know, and that's the issue. And, of course, the assertion that was made right at the top of that article that you read, and that is that human beings are the cause of global warming. We are warmed and cooled more by our relationship to the sun than we are by anything else. And we find that throughout the history of the planet that we can ascertain, besides what God gives us, but that we can ascertain through any kind of observation, shows us that the planet has warmed and cooled several times, and even during the existence of human beings, you know, that's cooled and warmed, so that we don't say that we are the cause of this. The time of greatest pollution in the Western Hemisphere was during the time of the Industrial Revolution, and no, correlation came about because of that. The atmosphere now is much cleaner than it was 100 years ago, when the source of power that was produced was basically soft coal and hard coal. We're cleaner nowadays than we were. The assertion that the number of automobiles is increasing our greenhouse gases, the ozone hole, that hole in the ozone layer that people are concerned about, widens and narrows on its own with very little correlation, if any,
but,
to the presence of greenhouse gases.
And this is a big but. No comedy there. Do not insert comedy there. But what if you're wrong? What if they're right? What if you're wrong? It's the end of the world.
No, not until God says.
And then we'll be all sitting here all globally warmed, and, you know, our hair will be on fire, and we'll be saying, that doggone Chuck Spalmer, he led us down the primrose path.
Okay, I'm willing to bear that.
Yeah?
Yeah. What if I'm wrong? Now, I'm not saying that we have the right to go off hog wild and do whatever it is that we wish to do. I'm saying that the premise is wrong. I'm saying that the doomsday is wrong. And if God decides to allow the temperature of the surface of the earth to warm to the extent that ice on the polar caps melts, we also know that something will happen to the desert regions, and that is that, that they will have more water just because of the natural cycle, and that there will be another source of food. So the people that, you know, have to move out of the coastal areas, which may not be a bad idea, you know, just think of that. We might lose California and New York.
Woo.
No, well, I shouldn't say that.
If Oliver Buzz Thomas were here,
and he'd look at me like I had two heads and think I'm really stupid.
If he were here and he could have watched you and Pastor Lukomsky as you were coming into Studio A and Pastor Lukomsky was departing Studio A, just kind of backslapping each other over the arrival of new grandchildren here in the last year, Oliver Thomas, I don't think, would have been too happy with the Spalmer family getting ever larger and the Lukomsky family still getting larger. You guys just haven't got the message yet. We're looking for small families here, not large families. That's one of the points that I think that Oliver Buzz Thomas is trying to make here.
If a person wants a smaller family, that's
fine.
You've
got to talk your kids into having, you know,
I'm
no
trying
kids.
To talk them into having a bunch of kids.
One, maybe. You're trying to talk them into having a... Get with the program here.
No,
a
seriously.
Bunch of kids?
Yeah, I love grandchildren. I love grandchildren. I have a friend who, 30 years ago, when my children were very little, said to me, you know, he said, don't ever worry about having a family, a large family. He said that the issue is that one of those kids that you bring up, first of all, as a Christian, secondly, with a regard for the earth, you know, to care for it as God commands us to do, may be one of those who arrives at a solution for something, a solution for a problem of food supply, a solution for a problem of energy, or is instrumental in some way in the ongoing processes by which we explore those things and we make advancements. He said, never let anybody say you had too many kids. Because he
said, how many kids did you have?
Well, my wife and I have five.
Five children. Good heavens. No wonder we're globally warmed.
Yeah, right.
It's the
well, we are a warm family. That's true. Well, my mother came from a family of 13 and my father from a family of 7. And
well, you downsized at least.
Yeah. You know, and we have replaced ourselves. We have encouraged our children to replace themselves. And so far,
well,
so
replacing
good.
Yourself is okay. Two kids. See, now there's a group
but
on the
need
other
to
side.
Have more.
There's a group on the other side of the spectrum. Since Oliver Buzz Thomas has sided the Aztecs here, because their civilization is gone, doesn't exist anymore. There is another group on the other side of the spectrum that is saying that in order for a civilization to continue, in order for it to perpetuate itself, it has to be fruitful and multiply. It has to replace itself.
Right.
And that if you ever get to a childbearing stage, which is less than 2, then you will be in decline and your civilization is in danger of going away.
Right.
So they're saying, have more kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliver Buzz Thomas is saying, have fewer kids.
Yeah.
It's very confusing for the rest
well,
of
us. It's not confusing. The
what
issue,
does God say?
God says, follow your conscience.
Well, then that means Buzz can have fewer kids and you can have more.
That's right. And if he conscientiously says, I think we need to have fewer children, that's fine. And I can't tell him, you know, Buzz, you really ought to have 5 kids. I can tell him it's a great deal of joy in having that many children. It's a great deal of joy in watching your family grow. It's a great deal of joy and also some responsibility in bringing those people up to be responsible citizens within the world, of producing something, of contributing something to the society in which we live, to recognize that nobody owes them a living, but that they owe to God all that they have and are, and that the way that they replenish that to God is by helping those who are around them. You know, the thing about the resources of the earth is that we need to recognize that there are some resources that are renewable, and we use those. People talk about, oh, you've cut down some trees to make paper. Yeah, and I always say, yep, the renewable resource. You know, you can always grow more trees.
Well, here's the problem now.
And by the way, there are more trees in the continental United States now than there were when the place was settled.
We just got finished with Romans chapter 6 in our conversation with Pastor Lukomsky, and we focused under his leadership on the notion of presenting yourself. He characterized Christian people in the context of being the donkey, and that prior to conversion, it is evil that rides the donkey, but after conversion, it is the Lord who rides the donkey. But you're still a donkey. You don't get to be the rider. The Lord is the rider, and you are the donkey. So as you present yourself in service to the Lord, to be ridden where the Lord would ride you on this particular day, there is, I think, a sense of stewardship and a way of going about your business in respecting the good gift of the earth to all people. So we want to be responsible.
Yes.
Based on Romans 6, we're not going to say, well, whatever, and just go throw our, you know, McDonald's wrappers all over the landscape.
Right, you can't.
So along comes Barry McLaren. Now, he is a producer of something called Demographic Winter, The Decline of the Human Family. And he has responded to this opinion piece in the USA Today. He says, according to the opinion column by Oliver Thomas, by calling on the faithful to have large families, traditional religion is destroying the planet. He's simply citing what I have just read. Supposedly, that's because each additional human being results in the production of more greenhouse gases, according to the global warming theory. Thomas specifically, Buzz, attacks the Catholic Church, Mormons, Orthodox Jews, and Muslims for encouraging large families. But Frederick Seitz, a past president of the National Academy of Sciences, declares, quote, "Research data on climate change do not show human use of hydrocarbons is harmful," unquote. McLaren adds, "While man-made global warming is a theory, plummeting birth rates, which eventually lead to population decline, is an incontrovertible reality. Worldwide, since 1970, birth rates have declined by over 50%. According to the United Nations Population Division, if current trends continue, by 2050, there will be 248 million fewer children under the age of 5 in the world than there are today. And that's just the beginning." So he goes on in his production here, Demographic Winter, The Decline of Human Family, to make a powerful call to be fruitful and multiply. And we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, but, you know, some of us, Pastor Spomer, don't have the time to Google all this or you know, go the old-fashioned route and go to the library. We have two assertions here that are diametrically opposed. I'm not sure which way to go, but the assertions on either side are catastrophic. This isn't just a matter of, you know, whether we should have daylight savings time or not. So it seems to me the one option I don't have is to do nothing. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Bible Study Ask the Pastor with Pastor Chuck Spomer. I'm interested in what the listeners think. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you.
Here's an opportunity to tour the Holy Land with one of our frequent guests on AME 50 KFUO. Pastor Nabil Noor, a native of Nazareth, Israel, leading a fall tour to the Holy Land. This is more than shrine hopping, Pastor says. It's more of a biblical journey in the steps of the Savior Jesus Christ. Pastor Noor will share with you the rich heritage and culture of the Middle East. Allow your senses to smell and taste and hear and feel the land, its people, and the food. Visit afootwasher.org for more information.
I'm Diane Summers.
And I'm Steve Siegel.
On the next afternoon show, Yolanda Rogers-Garvin joins us from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri.
We'll talk with Deb Schmeek on the history of kindergarten and a new trend in outdoor kindergartens.
And we find out about the St. Louis Book Fair as well.
And Dr. Deborah King, a childhood sexual abuse specialist on the El Dorado sect, potentially now one of the country's largest child abuse cases.
3 to 6, the afternoon show on AM 850 KFUO.
Can trees communicate with each other? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Psalm 96 speaks about the trees of the woods rejoicing, and Isaiah 55 speaks about the trees clapping their hands. Is this just figurative language, or can trees really have emotions and even praise God? Actually, science has known for some time that trees are able to communicate with each other in several ways. Rapid communication can occur downwind by releasing chemicals called pheromones into the air from the leaves. Slower communication can take place using similar chemicals through their root systems. But now a physicist in Oregon has accidentally found yet another way trees communicate with each other, and very rapidly. Ed Wagner was studying the flow of sap in trees and started finding voltage readings in the trees. With more research, he discovered that the trees generate a standing wave formation that not only travels in the tree, but also through the air to other trees. These waves, he finds, correlate with what the tree is experiencing. The blow of an axe not only causes a tree to send out strong waves, but the surrounding trees respond with similar but less emphatic reaction. Can tree communication also praise God? Well, now that we know that trees can literally talk to one another, there is every reason to believe that they also literally praise their Creator, just as Scripture says.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive. The folks at Reliable Heating and Cooling remind you that during this in-between season, between the extremes of winter and summer, it's generally easier to arrange for a service checkup on your furnace or your air conditioner. That tip courtesy of Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive, a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO.
Here's an educational opportunity for the kids. The birds will be taking flight at the third annual Wings of Spring Confluence Birding Festival to be held on Saturday at the Riverlands Migratory Bird Sanctuary in West Alton, Missouri. The festival will celebrate the arrival of spring and the bird migration along the Mississippi Flyway, with events taking place from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Guided birding trips will be one of the many features of this year's festival. That's this Saturday in West Alton, Missouri. So what do you listeners think? What do you do with Earth Day? I know some of you think that Earth Day is important, and that while it is a kind of a secular or civic kind of event, that Christians ought to come alongside it because we understand there are responsibilities for stewardship of the Earth. And I know that there's some of you listening to us who don't like it at all, don't like its connections to Earth worship and Gaia worship, and for that reason you feel that you don't want your fingerprints to be on it. It is quite a dilemma, and what we did in the first half hour with our guest today, Pastor Chuck Spomer, was present two cases from either side of the spectrum as it pertains to having kids. One side that says, we got to stop having kids, we got to downsize our families because we're going to destroy our planet because all these kids are going to warm it up too much. And then we got another guy who says, we're going to destroy our planet, we're going to destroy our civilizations anyway because we're not replacing people as we once did, and this portends disaster. So either way you look at it, it's a disaster. And it doesn't seem to me like it's appropriate to just do nothing. So we'll go to the phones here right after we get Pastor Spomer's response, because he's patient, waited through the 4 minutes of the break. You're going to split it down the middle, Pastor? You're going to lean in one direction or the other? You're going to give me a third option? What are you going to do?
Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a third option, and that is this. God says to us, be fruitful and multiply. He doesn't say overburden the earth, but we should renew the earth and replenish it, which means that our stewardship of the earth has as part of its raison d'être of being.
What?
It's reason for being.
Okay.
Okay.
Is those foreign languages again.
Well, it's to It's to preserve the earth for the sake of those who come after us. And it's to preserve the earth as a trust from God. God has given us this trust to preserve, okay? To use for the welfare of those who are here now, and to preserve for those who come after us. And the stewardship of that is never, an easy thing. You can't just make a checklist and say, do this, 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 and this, and everything is going to be copacetic. There are times when you have to say, we won't do this because we want to preserve, and there are times when you say there's plenty, and so we need to do this. One way to make sure that the earth is not overpopulated is simply to stop giving people antibiotics or drugs that will enable them to survive diseases. That's a simple thing to do, and that way you can preserve a lot of the resources of the earth, too, because those things all take energy, money, and resources to preserve.
Global cooling there. That's cold.
Hey. Well, it may be cold, but that's exactly what other people are suggesting that we do. You know, a word of advice to people who are young and starting their families, and that is this. You may have, to a certain extent, control over the number of children that you have. But my sanctified advice to you, I believe this is something which is defensible on the basis of a good, solid Christian theology, and that is this. Since God gives us the gift of children for both the procreation of the race, the sustaining of the race, and also for the procreation of the faith, we need those who will carry it on after us as well. We have a responsibility to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I would suggest you do not wait to have children until you can, in quotes, afford them, which means you've got to be well established, or you have to have your house paid for, or you have to have all of those things that you wish to have first before you have your children. That will set a precedent in your life that your children will never take the place in your life that they need to have. They need to be second behind only your spouse in terms of your earthly relationships.
Boy, you never opened a lot of can of worms here.
Never behind. Well, you know, people say, well, we can't afford to have more
children.
Can't
be behind work?
No.
Can't be behind hobbies?
No.
Golf?
No, can't even be behind your big screen TV or Monday Night Football.
Careful.
Or any of that stuff.
Careful.
You know, can't be behind the lake home or the big car or the trailer or the boat.
Gasp.
None of that stuff. Your children have to be before that.
Let's take some calls here. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Ellen. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Chuck. Good morning, Pastor Stormer.
Hi.
You know, this whole thing about Earth Day, I mean, it's common sense we should not be wasteful with resources. But I want to share a quick thought with you, and there's a scripture that I believe backs up. The original tree huggers in this country, when I've been studying church history, this started like right after the Civil War, and it was the Unitarians, and even they would, some of them broke off from even the Unitarian Church, and they would, Louisa May Alcott and Longfellow and a lot of those poets and well-known liberal writers, they'd sit around in their living room and read poetry to each other all about nature and worship the sun and all this sort of thing. And what goes around comes around, because Ecclesiastics, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? And we just kind of keep recycling these thoughts every so often and think we're being contemporary. And the birth rate, it has been going down. The average family, you don't run into many people nowadays that have more than two or three children. And these are the same people that also seem to think when grandma starts to drool and gets to be too forgetful and that, maybe you can give her a little pill and let her go. And just a thought.
Well,
thank you.
I think I catch the drift of where you're headed there. Pastor Fulmer, any comments?
I think that what Ellen said fits in very well with the whole idea of I'm not going to have kids until I can afford them kind of thing. Because once grandma gets to be something that you can't afford anymore, then you cut off whatever she needs to stay alive, you know. The measure of a society is not how well it cares for the earth. The measure of any society is how well it cares for the weakest of its constituents. What do we do about those who are children yet in the womb? What do we do about those who are children who cannot care for and support themselves? What do we do about the elderly? And I'm not talking about government programs here. I'm talking about individuals who are responsible directly for these people. What do we do for them? What do we do about them? How do we care for them? And, you know, your government can only do so much and shouldn't probably do everything that it's required to do nowadays. But each individual and we as families need to assume that responsibility, because that's where God places the responsibility.
Listeners, what do you think? Earth Day, 505-7050, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to our friend up in Armour, South Dakota, Pastor Nabil Noor. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Chuck, and good morning, Brother Chuck.
How are you, Nabil? Good
Chuck
to see
and Brother
you.
Chuck.
Yes, I am well, actually. Couple of comments. I've loved the discussion you've had. I did not read the articles that you alluded to, Chuck, but one of the things that was absent from the discussion, where is God? You know, you talk about controlling the earth, the society, and the birth rate and everything else like that. But nowhere in the discussion, where is God?
Well, God's standing up in heaven with his hands on his hips.
Well, the thing is, God is involved. He's not the God who made the watch or the world and just spun it and says, okay, you take care of it. He's in control, and they seem to forget that. And, you know, the other point I wanted to share, I am pro-life, you know this, and I read a statement on a bumper sticker. It says like this: be a hero and save a whale, save a baby and go to jail. You know, we got things turned around. We are so concerned about the trees, and we forgot life. Bless the heart of the lady that called before me. You know, Grandma, we are putting her on a rocker chair and dropping her on the end of the mountain till she goes someplace. We forgot that God gave us, be fruitful and multiply. Take care of what I have given you, and I will bless you. We have lost focus of who God is and what he has asked us to do.
Amen.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Pastor Noor, but that begs the question.
Fire away.
If our losing focus or losing our way has the possibility of a catastrophic end, and that's what these two articles suggest, that this isn't going to just lead to a difficult period. This could perhaps lead to the end of everything as we know it. What should we do? I agree with you that we've lost our focus in our way, but what should we do?
Well, number one, they say it's going to bring the end of everything. They're not gods. They don't know what the end is going to be. This is just a presupposition on their part. They forgot that my God is the one who made the world. Isaiah says, the Lord hold the circle of the earth in his hands. Do you think God is going to let this happen because we are just so stupid and idiotic and letting go? Yeah, we'll suffer the consequences, but when the world will end is not up to man. It is up to God.
All right, we'll talk about it. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Nabil. And you know, I love the fact that he brought the issue of God as the Almighty Creator and the one who brings an end to this. But what these folks who wrote these articles fail to recognize, and I don't expect them to recognize, because obviously they're writing them from the perspective of people who do not take God as Creator and Redeemer, particularly Redeemer, into account here. The Scripture tells us that the world will end in relation to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in relation to the use of the earth's resources. So the world will end, Jesus tells us, when the world has heard the gospel of Christ. Then the end will come. And as we neglect to tell people who Jesus Christ is, as we neglect to share Christ with the world around us, then that world, when it ends, will have altogether too many people who will be condemned to not a global warming, but a particular location that will be extremely warm for them, and they won't want to be there. That's what we're looking to avoid.
Let me see if I can get a response from you on this. You may recall that, according to the book of Genesis, that God destroyed the earth by a global flood in which everybody and everything perished except those on the ark. A universal destruction, with that single exception. And the reason that he did that, if I read my Genesis account correctly, is because he looked to and fro on the earth and found man doing only evil continually. So he responded with a global flood. Could it be that the coming destruction of the earth, as is predicted and foretold by the scriptures, will follow a similar model in that we, in a modern fashion, will live in such a way, such an irresponsible and poor stewardship way, that we will bring upon this destruction? That is, we trigger the judgment of God. See, I hear you and Pastor Knorr saying that God's got this figured out and he'll end it when he decides to end it, whether we produce chlorofluorocarbons or not. But maybe he will end it because of the way we behave, and because of our poor stewardship, and because of our evil, if you will.
Okay, several things. And I'm glad we put this back into the theological framework. It just works better for me. I don't know much about sociology or, you know, really not very much of a scientist at all. Your analogy is missing something. When God says that they were doing only evil, he's not talking about misuse of the resources. He's talking about misuse of the human race. He's talking about acting in unfaith. There were people who did not believe in him anymore. And even though they may have lived very normal, nice, safe lives, they were still doing things abominable in his sight because they were not doing it through faith in him. Okay. One of the reasons why he waited until Noah had completed the ark was so that a lot of those people who may have been still faithful at that time, like Noah's grandfather Lamech, somebody's calculated, would have been living up until fairly shortly before the ark took off. Waited until they died, and then there were only those eight people. Those eight people who lived in faith in God. And the reason that God did this was because there was an opportunity for even those eight who were faithful to be overwhelmed by the unfaithfulness of the whole world. So God destroyed the world there. And he did that not by means of anything that those people had done. They had not stored up the waters in the windows of heaven. They did not open up the fountains of the deep and bring forth that water in 40 days and 40 nights. That was completely God's work, God's action. So there's not necessarily an analogy there between what people accuse us of doing right now in terms of our atmosphere or our land mass, the whole concern of the environment. Secondly, God has already determined when the end will be. It is not predicated upon how evil we get or anything like that. He already knows when this is going to be. It is a time which has already been set by the Father. And when that time comes, you know, we may be living in a pristine state again, as far as our care of the earth may go. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Do I believe that God is going to do that in relation to, like, a nuclear holocaust or a global warming thing? No. I think maybe large portions of the human race may die off, but that won't be the end of the world.
All right, what would you say to this person who watches NOVA and these various programs that affirm evolution and, to a certain extent, mock those who hold to some view outside of evolution, and listening to you now saying, well, you know, I'm willing to put myself into Pastor Spomer's hands or the theologian's hands on some things, but this is science we're talking about. And Pastor Spomer just admitted that he's not much of a scientist. So I'm going to go with the have smaller families guy, because, after all, he's talking science. And if we're going to get this wrong and it's going to be catastrophic, I got to go with the safer bet. So you religious guys and your superstitions or your various strange ceremonies and things that you have, I don't think this is your forum.
Okay. But now, if this is a person of faith, he says, to quote you, they would be willing to place themselves into my hands with this exception.
Well, see, now here's where we have to be careful, because there are so many people who will have one foot in one arena and one foot in the other.
Mm-hmm.
A person of faith. What is a person of faith?
Well, okay, let's say a Christian.
They're
a believing Christian.
They're convoluted on some of these things. They're confused on some of these things.
Absolutely. No
it's
argument for me there.
Then. Well, okay. So your person of faith does not necessarily have everything figured out.
Well, not only that, but I'm saying to them, if that's your decision, if that's what you want to do conscientiously, then say to God, God, this is what I believe I need to do conscientiously. If it is wrong, please forgive me. If it is right, please bless it. Whichever it is, please lead me and guide me in the way that you wish me to go. And so I would say to the person who makes the decision to have a larger family in response to that very thing, I would say, okay, God, I've made this decision because you don't tell me in your word whether I should or shouldn't at this point or not. Since it's not something which your word decides, I'm going to say to you, if this is wrong, please forgive it. Guide me into the way which is right and pleasing to you, and enable me to follow you with all my heart. And that's all I can do. That's all I can do. Will I tell somebody to have larger families? Not necessarily. I certainly wouldn't want to tell somebody to have a larger family and then it becomes evident that they're not capable of doing it. I don't want to be the one who is responsible for that kind of pressure upon them, and the feeling that they will get later on when they can't produce a larger family and they feel conscientiously that they should. We in this world just simply live as imperfect beings. We are constantly before God as those who need to admit, confess our shortcomings and receive from God His forgiveness for them, which means that our understanding of the way that God has made the world is not full, it's not complete, it's not there yet. Anytime we think that it is, all we have to do is wait 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, and we'll see that many, many, many things are completely different. You know, this whole issue of evolution that you brought up, when Origin of Species was written in the 1860s by Darwin, he made some assumptions that have been proven not to be true. And yet people are not willing to give up the idea of evolution just because Darwinism appears not to be true. He did not understand the makeup of the cell or the atom, had no knowledge of the complexity of it, and so thought that it could come into being by happenstance. And yet you can't bring something that complex into being all at once. Unless it's created. It doesn't happen by accident because of the irreducible complexity.
I know that you're not experiencing any pangs of guilt today for your excessive family growth, but for the person for the person who got six kids.
Yeah.
And...
Well, you mean like Pastor Rawl and his wife?
They got six kids?
They have six kids.
Oh, he must be feeling just terribly guilty today.
I don't think so.
For the person who has six kids and goes through the Earth Day experience, going to see the media, it's in the paper, it's in the USA Today, no doubt it'll be on the cable channels, the news channels, the whole thing, and perceives that push to make you feel guilty, you father of six children, you father of five or seven children, you should feel guilty. And does. It just almost is glad Earth Day is finally over because he spent the whole day feeling guilty because of what the media has been preaching to him or her during the course of this day. Feels bad at the end of the day. What do you have to say to that person?
What I would have to say to that person is to quote the Psalms. I think Psalm 128. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of sons. You know. They're like olive shoots around your table.
Oh, no, he played the son's card now, too, on Earth Day. And what about the daughters? Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get letters and emails.
The children are a blessing from the Lord. That's all they are. You know, they just simply are a blessing from the Lord. And he provides us with those children. And he says to us that once he gives them to us, we have a responsibility to them, first of all. The main responsibility is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them concerning their Lord Jesus Christ, which means we have them baptized at an early age, as soon as we can. And then it means that along with all of those things, we provide for their bodily needs as best we can.
We have about 2.5 minutes left here. Not enough time, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. In our culture, I believe this is increasingly true, that children are not perceived as a blessing from the Lord, but they are perceived as trophies or adornments for the majesty and greatness of my own particular life.
Right.
You got 2 minutes to speak to that.
Well, if that's the case, then your children are going to grow up to be really messed up, if that's the attitude that
Why
you have about
that?
Them. Well, for one thing, there are two possibilities, okay? One possibility is that...
Because there are a lot of kids these days who seem to be growing up really messed up.
Yeah, right. And part of it's that attitude. And part of it's the attitude of, I really didn't want you. You are a real drain. I mean, it's not that you weren't happy when you had this kid, right? Because you love little babies and they're so cute. And, oh, I've got kids. Isn't that wonderful? That means a lot about me. You know, and it's not about you. It's about them. And kids grow up, if it's the first thing that these are trophy kids, right? First of all, you can be arrogant, saying, look at me, I'm a trophy, I'm so good, I'm better than you, and all that kind of thing that goes along with that. Second thing is that the kid grows up and he says, you know what, I'm not living up to my mom and dad's expectations. I was their trophy kid, and I'm just not living up to it. Therefore, I am a worthless person. And the other attitude is if children are in imposition upon your time, if they are less important to you than watching, The Office or Earl or any of that junk.
Careful.
Junk on TV. even if it's the most important thing on TV, if your children are less important to you than, and I have to plead guilty to that too. I've told them to be quiet while the dude, you know, talk to me during commercials.
Yeah.
Not during this.
Sure.
You know, what does that say to them? It says that thing that's on the wall there, that boob tube is more important than you are. And a child grows up with the attitude of, I'm not very important in my parents' eyes, so I've got to do one of two things. Either I'm really not that important and I have to live my life in that kind of an attitude, or I have to assert myself and make myself that important, in which case I think of myself more highly than I ought. You don't raise well-rounded kids who realize that, we're all in the same boat. Everybody is worth the same in the sight of God. Secondly, nobody in God's sight is worthless. We all have gifts from God to be used for the welfare of all.
So the message from Chuck Spomer is, if it's good to your conscience, get out there and have big families.
And if it's not, fine. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Chuck Spomer, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate your insight and your help here today. And that is our Ask the Pastor Bible study. We have Romans chapter 7 coming up next time here on our Bible study. Hope you can join us at that time and that you'll be able to call us. I'm Chuck Rathert for our guest, Pastor Chuck Spomer. Thanks for listening.
Listen to Chuck Rathert and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.